Well, tonight I want to introduce the Garcia family. Appreciate them. I believe Andrew, I was talking to you a little bit about it earlier. I believe Andrew first came to Crooked Creek about 3 years ago. You were single, I think maybe engaged to Amber, and came in to the Wednesday night service, and he told me that the Lord had called him to Honduras and making preparations. And so our paths crossed again just in the past year, and I'm so thankful he was able to come to our conference now. They have been married for how long now? 2.5 years, and the precious little daughter that they have, and so just thankful for them to be able to be here. He's going to present tonight, and they're going to share their testimonies, and also it is so good to have Lynette here with us, going to South Africa. She'll be presenting later this week. She was with the young people this morning and junior church. And so one of the things I want to encourage our church family to do, and this is never a problem, but it's just a friendly reminder, let's make sure that our missionaries are never left alone in the foyer by their displays. If you look over there and see them alone, you just go over there and just ask them how they're doing today, okay? Even if you've talked to them before. I mean, ask them, do they know anything about the Braves or the Bulldogs, okay? Just get out there and you just, mainly just, you know what I mean, be friendly. And make sure you get a prayer card from them and ask them, how can we be praying for you as you get ready to go to the field, different things like that. And these are where great friendships are started with our missionaries. And honestly, Brother Stedman preached, you guys remember last year, on how important it is, not for just the pastor to discern whether it's the will of God to support the missionary, but it's the church's responsibility to discern whether or not to partner together with a missionary. And that's what we're doing. We want to pray. They want the will of God. We want the will of God. And so for you to be able to get to know them is very important. And so I hope we'll be intentional with that. Well, let's go ahead and Brother Andrew, you come and you just present your ministry, share your testimony. I believe you have a video, and we'll go ahead and do that. But let's welcome Brother Andrew here tonight. We're just glad you're here, brother. Thank you.
Well, we're glad to be here, of course. Missionaries in the country of Honduras. If you're not exactly sure where Honduras is, that's okay. It's not the biggest country in the world. But you got Mexico below us, then Guatemala, and then Honduras. That's just a four-hour flight from Atlanta, and that's a flight we're going to be making January 24th. Got our tickets bought. Got about 75% of our support, so just praying God will take care of the rest by the time we leave, or maybe a little bit after we arrive, whatever happens. But God has been good. God has blessed me greatly. I remember being able to come here a while back and drop in. And even before that, when I came back to the States in 2018 from Honduras, I got to just come by for a day for your mission conference then. I think Daniel Jenkins was presenting, perhaps.
That's right.
So I came along for a day of that.
Sure.
That was a wonderful blessing, but glad to be back. This is the area I grew up in, Madison County, over in Danielsville, my home church, Bluestone Baptist. So just good to be around the home area. We've been as far west as Arizona, as far north as Michigan, about 2 hours south from Canada. So it's good to be here. And, yeah, it's a blessing. So I got to live in Honduras for 2 years after graduating from Pensacola Christian College with a degree in missions. So I spent 2 years in Honduras, had a wonderful time there, just working in a Christian school with the Hodges. They've been there for about 20 years, started a Christian school and a church, and just a wonderful testimony. In my 2 years there, they'd go out soul winning every Saturday, sometimes move it to Thursday. And 2 years there, they canceled it one time. So that's just a wonderful testimony. What can I say? I'm looking forward to going back to Honduras, master the Spanish language a bit better, right? And just spend a lot of my time going door to door to parks or soccer fields, wherever people hang out, right, to tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I lived there for those 2 years, and people would often meet me and hear that my last name was Garcia, and they look and say, you know, I don't think you look like a Garcia. And that's true, but my wife can testify to the fact that my stomach is very, very Garcia. My favorite food in the world is beans and tortillas when they're made the right way, not like a can of, you know, beans and some of those cheap flour tortillas. I'm talking, I don't know how many of you ever had fresh flour tortillas. They are so good, right? It's like the equivalent of biscuits, right? They're so good. But anyway, I love any kind of that food. But anyway, my mom married John Garcia, who has heritage from Mexico. And after a while, my mom, who was not a Christian at that time in her life, she got involved with somebody else, made some bad decisions, right? And I came into the picture when my biological father found out she was expecting. He told my mom she needed to just go ahead and get an abortion. But my mom refused. And my biological father did not like that answer at all. So we'll just say he tried to take matters into his own hands. But God showed his protection that day in the form of my grandma. She came in the room with a baseball bat and kind of ran him off. And God saved my life that day. Amen. And then my mom, she went back to her husband, John Garcia, who has always treated me like his son, never any different than any of his other children, even signed the birth certificate and everything. And I'm proud to call myself a Garcia, but I'm even more proud to call myself a child of God.
Amen.
And to be able to call you who have received Christ, my brothers and sisters in Christ, because I had the opportunity when I was about 7 years old up in Calvary Baptist Church in Smithfield, Virginia, to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, because I understood someday I'm going to be standing before God, and I'm not going to be able to point to myself and say, look, God, I've done all these good things as a 7 year old. I haven't killed anybody. So I guess I'm good enough. No, it's nothing like that. I can only boast in Jesus Christ and what He has done for me. And He has done everything that needs to be done. So I received Jesus because I had the opportunity to hear what Jesus had done for me. And I heard it because it was preached to me. And it was preached to me because someone was sent there to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was with a Sunday school group of kids this morning, right, third through sixth grade, I think. And I asked the question, where did you hear about Jesus? Church, right? That's the answer for most of us. Or if you didn't hear it in church, you heard it from someone who came out of a church that preached the gospel. But the problem around the world is there's not enough churches preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in Honduras, yes, they know about Jesus. They know Him. If you were to ask them, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins? Most of them would say, yeah. But I was also told you got to do this and this and this, and that somehow increases your chances of going to heaven. Maybe God will say it's good enough. But that's not how it works, right? You can't add to the gospel. You can't take a nice cloth, right, and add your filthy rags, filthy sin to it and hope that it's going to somehow make it better. I bought a mango in Honduras once. Great mango. They have great mangoes in Honduras. I took that home, cut into that mango, and found out it was a maggot mango. Right? Bunch of maggots in my mango. Not just one maggot. That might have been okay. Not really. But there was a bunch. Right? This was no longer a good mango, because something bad had been added to it. You can't add your works. That's all the difference between damnation and salvation. Right? We need Jesus, and Jesus alone.
Amen.
He alone can save. He alone saves. So I had my eyes opened up in the country of Honduras. To tell you a little bit more, originally I felt called to the country of maybe Japan, right? They need the gospel there for sure. And they don't know about Jesus, but in Honduras they know Him, but they don't really know Him. Not like they need to know Him. And that makes all the difference. And I believe there's a great potential in Honduras. We'll talk about that more. I want to tell you how I met my wife as she comes up, right? Actually, it was very similar to just a few moments ago. I was up in the choir doing an internship at Vision Baptist Church in Alpharetta, Georgia. I was just about to start deputation. And so I was up in the choir. She was a single missionary with BIM. I had to find a good wife from somewhere, right? Give me a break, right? So anyway, she came in for a drop-in, just like I did at Crooked Creek a while back. Hoping to get a meeting, that kind of thing. And from what she told me later, she was looking up at the choir and she said, oh, that guy, he's probably taken. But anyway, I knew who she was. I knew who she was because I had been told she was coming. There was a bit of a setup going on behind her back. I didn't tell her this till after we got married, I think. But anyway, I tried to get her number. And brother, I don't know what you teach at BIMI, but she did not have her phone number on that prayer card. Right? Because she was a smart single lady, right? Not going to hand her number out to just any guy who asks for it. But I did eventually get in touch with her, asked her out for a date. On the fourth time I asked her, she finally said, maybe. So that was progress, I guess. But it's a blessing. What can I say? We got married 9 months after we met. Got a lot of her support, right? Should have waited a little longer, maybe, as she was raising her support. Get close. But anyway, just joking, right? People mess with me, so I just figure I'll own it, right? Whatever. Anyway, God has blessed me tremendously. That is just a testimony of God's provision. I would like to say, I got married when I was 29, so I would like to say I waited patiently all those years, but that would not really be true. But God, anyway, blessed me with a great gift. And He can do that for anyone, not just in marriage, but anything, right? If you're looking to hopefully see someone saved, you've been waiting on them for years, praying for them, don't give up. God provides good gifts to His children who ask for them. And we got Sophia, if you haven't met her yet, 18 months old. She's great. What can I say? God is blessing. I'm going to let my wife have a couple minutes.
Pastor asked me to share how I felt called to missions and what my plan and my goal is and how my role will look in Honduras. And I was thinking about that question, how I felt called to missions, and there's so many things that go on in your heart when you start thinking about missions, and they're important. There's a compassion for people who haven't heard about Jesus, and that definitely was a factor. I feel for them. My heart aches for them. And then there's a realization that Jesus loves these people. He made them. He formed them in their mother's womb, took the time to knit them together. He knows them on an intimate level, knows everything about them, has given them life and has taken care of them and watched over them from the day they were conceived, and they've never even heard His name, for many of them. And that's a tragedy, to think that Jesus loves them so much and they've never even heard of Him. And so you think about it from their side, but you also think about it from the Lord's side. He died for these people, and no one's bothering to go tell them that. That was also a factor for me, thinking, Lord, this isn't right. This is the biggest tragedy that's ever happened in the earth, that You love these people, and nobody's bothered to tell them. But I think for me, what really triggered me to move forward in pursuing missions was perhaps more of a selfish reason. We were actually talking about this afternoon. There's some studies that have been released that talk about how we as humans bond emotionally after we've been engaged in some sort of activity that raises our adrenaline. So, for example, I think probably that's why bonds formed in the military are so strong. You've been through some adrenaline-raising things together, and then you bond emotionally right after because that's just how we're wired. And I was thinking about, there was a year in my life where I decided, actually, rather, you made reference to it in your sermon today, we live too timidly. And God convicted me about that. He's like, you're my child. Why do you think you're supposed to live an ordinary life? And so God laid this phrase on my heart that fear is not a good reason to not do something. And so I spent that year just trying things that I'd always been afraid to try. And one of them was a trip to Honduras. And I realized doing things that scare me, that don't seem logical perhaps, like, you know, leaving a comfortable life to go do something that I had a lot of friends tell me, you are crazy, why are you doing that? Doing something like that, it was that bonding factor with the Lord. I did something that scared me, that created that adrenaline rush, if you will, and then the Lord was there with me in that, and it bonded me with the Lord. And to be honest, that is the reason I surrendered to missions, because I realized it was drawing me closer to the Lord. And it was making me see Him in a new light. And I was seeing Him as this amazing, wonderful being who had so much power and care for me. And I was like, Lord, I just want to see You like this more and more and more in my whole life. And if living a life of things that blow my mind and maybe scare me a little bit, if walking by faith does this to my relationship with You, I just want to do that the rest of my life. And that's why I surrendered to missions, to be quite honest. The role that, Lord willing, I'll be having in Honduras is several different hats. First and foremost, my identity is a child of God. And that's going to be my first role in Honduras, is to just focus on having such a good relationship with Him that I want to be a walking vessel of the Holy Spirit, that wherever I'm going, whether it's working in our church plants or grocery shopping, I'll be able to show Jesus to people who don't know Him. My second role and my second priority is being Andrew's wife. I want to be an encouragement to him, a helper, to help him practically take care of things like, you know, food on the table, make sure he has clothes to wear, and all those practical things that a wife does so he can focus on other things. And then also just encouraging him in the ministry, working alongside him and being someone who can be a help to him and an encourager. And I'm also a mom, so that's going to be a good chunk of my time. I plan on homeschooling Sophia and any other children the Lord may give us, so that'll be something that I'm doing on the field. And then also, I really want to be involved in our church plants. I have a passion for church planting because churches are, that's the body of Christ. And so I'll be doing things like ladies' Bible studies, working with the young people, starting Sunday school, training Honduran ladies on how to do Sunday school and how to do women's ministry so I can pass on the baton to them. And there's so many things that I'm hoping the Lord will open doors to. But I'm excited. And I'm excited I get to do it with Andrew. And I don't know who I have to thank, but thank you to whoever put him up in the choir, because that was like a fun reliving a moment for me.
Amen. Thank you so much, Amber.
All right, just a couple things, and then I'll be done after we play our video. But our goal is to go to Honduras and plant churches, plant multiple churches. Our goal is to plant one church every 5 years or so as the Lord leads. So if we're there for a good 40 years, if God gives us that, that's 8 churches, maybe 10, which is good. But guess what happens to a capital city in 4 decades? It grows. You can't keep up with that. So our other goal is to make disciples. Right. They can continue the ministry long after we're gone in ways that we could not do just by ourselves. That is a great burden for us. And then eventually we'd like to see many missionaries being sent out of Honduras to different countries around the world. There's a great need. America cannot do it by itself. It hasn't done it. And not meant to do it by itself. Right. Every church and every nation should play a part. And I believe God is going to do great things with the people of Honduras, with the people of Latin America. I'm biased, but I think specifically Latin America is going to be greatly used by God in the coming years. So thank you.